Hola and welcome back to Vos Memos. On the Vos Memos podcast, I tend to cover career, creativity, and self-care, and increasingly politics and current culture. I'm your host, Angela George, and in this episode, I want to cover my experience at Twin Cities No Kings. Spoiler, super peaceful, super fun. And also how the current political climate intersects with this book I just finished reading. I'm starting to worry about this big black box of doom by Jason Pargan. So if reading, pop culture, politics, all of that interests you, stick around and let's get into it. So No Kings, I went to the St. Paul protest despite it kind of being canceled due to the assassinations. That one was also super peaceful. Honestly, the weather was more October than this one was. Sunny, bright, beautiful, like blue skies. It felt very much like, I don't know, it was a day to spend outside with people, which is exactly what we did at No Kings. My sign said, "Make Margaret Atwood fiction again for all the book girlies." And then the other side said, "Cat ladies vote." And I wore, if you're watching, this cat sweatshirt, because I am a cat lady who votes. So, yeah, I think these protests are just super important to show up to because it makes us present and visible. It's something that is harder to disprove. And I think this is kind of tying into why I want to talk about, I'm starting to worry about this big black box of doom, because so much of, quote, activism now is completely online. And it's just too easy to push that aside as saying like, oh, those are bots, those are like fake, that's AI. Like, there's just so much on the internet that is easy to either debunk because it's fake or just dismiss because it's simply online. So showing up in person right now is really, really important. So, I mean, I wasn't even certain I was going to go to this one since I did go to the last one, but a friend just reached out and then I was all of a sudden on my way to the protest with my little cardboard sign. And I think like that's another thing that I learned about this protest for myself was just how easy it is to just reach out to somebody and get them involved and suddenly like, that's how these things become so big because you have all the people that are on the fence. They don't know if they're going to go. And then they just need that tiny, tiny nudge. And then they're with you, like chanting and cheering and singing and dancing at the protest. So I'm really grateful to that friend that reached out because I had a blast. These protests are always so fun. Like, protest sounds like such a serious word, but in reality, the way that we did it at No Kings is very peaceful, very joyful, and honestly just fun. Like, you get to see people in silly costumes. There were so many inflatable frogs, unicorns, dinosaurs, just fun things like that. People's punny signs and people of all ages too. It's beautiful to see like a gathering like that where it's kids all the way to seniors. And they're all there for the same reason. So, yeah, this one was an even bigger turnout than last time. 100,000 plus people showed up in Minneapolis. And, yeah, like, there were a lot of frogs. I think standing with Portland was really important because, like I said, online, there's a full-on, like, smear campaign that's saying, like, Portland is a war zone. But then, like, we show up and we're just like Portland where we are peaceful and joyful and dressed up fun. And so I think the frogs was like a great symbol that like is now part of No Kings. And yeah, like there were a lot of mean girls quotes and signs because it was October with the whole October 3rd. So one of my favorite signs was Trump is a fugly slut. I think like if Trump is going to be a bully, like that is mean girl behavior. So it makes sense. That made sense to me. So, great time at No Kings. If you're not connected, get involved. Get connected. It's as easy as signing up for a newsletter, following an Instagram. And these organizers are so good at getting people together in a safe way, and all you have to do is show up. And I mean, you don't even have to make a sign if you don't want to, because just being there is enough. The aerial shots of showing like how many people were there was just hard to even comprehend. Like, everyone just was like these tiny little specks, and when you added up, 100,000 people are there. And this is Minnesota, where like it's blue. So yeah, obviously we're mad. But I was hearing from friends that like went out into smaller towns that weekend that aren't as blue as the Twin Cities, and they still had like 1,000 people show up for their No Kings protest. So it is just another reason to show up, is to not feel so alone. I think like social media really isolates us. And another reason, I'm like trying not to get too much into it before I'm done talking about No Kings, but like I said, social media is making everything so much worse than it already is. Like, things are bad with this administration, atrocious, the worst they've ever been, but social media makes it 10 times worse and more inflated, and it makes people angry enough to show up in person. So in some ways, that's a good thing. It's good that we can use social media to connect and actually be together. But when social media is the thing that's tearing us apart, that's where I draw an issue. So I want to get into my analysis and some quotes I pulled out of this book, I'm Starting to Worry About the Big Black Box of Doom. And I need to shorten this title because it is so long. So I probably just call it Box of Doom from now on. But the synopsis is, and this is a fiction book, the synopsis is that there is this guy who, he does Uber kind of in between his streaming on Twitch, named Abbott, and this woman named Ether. And very quickly in the book, they come together and Ether convinces Abbott to take her across the country with a giant black box, which the only instructions that come with it is that under no circumstances can it be opened before arriving to that final destination, which was near the DC area. And she offers him $100,000 to take her across the country in his dad's car. So that's the premise of the book. And in this multi-day road trip, Ether slowly starts to unwrap Abbott's biases, fears, and often how technology is at the root of many of his issues with society. So especially like social media algorithms and phone addiction, and how it just keeps us in this perpetual state of, you know, avoiding our issues, avoiding like stress just by like numbing everything. And then, yeah, like how basically, I don't think this is really a spoiler because it's not what's in the box, okay? You don't learn what's in the box until the very end. So I'm not going to spoil that. But the box itself is used as a metaphor for a relationship with screens and phones kind of being that big black box of doom. And one of my favorite quotes from the book that kind of sums it all up is, "The box doesn't train you to do anything but remain in the box." So I think we should sit with that for a second. The box doesn't train you to do anything but remain in the box. This quote is, I mean, it spoke to me because we have been dealing with so much rage bait, so much AI slop, and Trump making AI slop, where, I mean, it just makes you so furious that you have to keep scrolling. You have to keep commenting and like liking and sharing. Like, how could he do this? How could he post this? Like, it triggers our like reaction of fight or flight. And we just end up continuing to scroll, continuing to give our attention to these social media giants. And in return, they continue to feed us with the most aggravating and low quality content possible. Okay, another reason I wanted to connect this book with No Kings is from this quote, which comes from like the mad scientist character that you'll meet him if you read it. But he's like described as kooky, but ultimately like his ideas are kind of true. They're like, there's a kernel of truth to each one. And this quote says what Phil Green thought was, "Social media algorithms are a 24/7 humiliation machine. That is how a population is primed for authoritarian rule. And that's just one example. We're essentially teaching machines how to hack human insecurity. And so what he was getting at with this quote is like the reason why we feel so isolated when we're on social media. We're always comparing ourselves to others and we make ourselves feel worse and worse about ourselves because of what we see online. And I think this is so true because basically we have these echo chambers where Trump can look more powerful than he actually is. He posts something and it's instantly on every news cycle, no matter how dumb it is. And we saw this in the first Trump administration, and we have continued to see it where we continue to give him attention, and thus the attention makes him feel powerful and it makes us feel like he has power, when in reality the attention can be just as easily taken away. And he doesn't actually have any more power than any other president did. With these algorithms 24/7, like showing us the worst of the worst from the president and continuing to fuel anger and rage. The reason why it's so important to show up to these protests is because you can see, like, you are not alone. The social media makes you feel isolated. I mean, maybe you're scrolling through the comments and you see people that agree with you, but you also see a million people that disagree with you. And suddenly you feel like you're on a little island of sanity and you're just floating out there in this sea of insane behavior. And I mean, that's what I've been calling my series on like political content, is informed versus insanity, because it seems like as soon as you get involved in the conversation, you start to go insane. And so if we go back to the quote, "We're teaching machines how to hack human insecurity," I think it connects directly into the rage bait conversation that we've been having. And Trump has hacked that rage bait cycle. After the No Kings protest, he posted that AI slop video of him literally shitting on the American public, literally shitting on people performing their First Amendment rights. And it made people mad. Like, obviously, it would make someone mad, but it also distracts from the real harm that he's causing. It also detracts from, like, how many people actually showed up when the news cycle is now only covering that video instead of talking about 100,000 people showed up to Minneapolis or, like, thousands of protests happened across the country. So I hope you can see what I'm getting at here, where the big black box of doom is our phones. It is making the situation worse than it should be, because really, Trump is just up in the White House throwing a tantrum every day. And the only reason he's getting anywhere is because he continues to control the narrative. And if we can take that narrative back from him, if we can show up in November like we're showing up at these protests, that's when we can really change the direction of this country. I mean, he thinks he can continue to get away with invading our cities with ICE and the National Guard, using them like his own personal military and militia, when really these protests show more than ever that the citizens are not okay with it. That's why Portland continues to protest. I think last weekend, 1 week after No Kings, Minneapolis had to do an emergency protest because Kristi Noem was trying to show up to Minneapolis and rally up ICE when we don't want them here. So we continue to show up. We continue to be in person and be real with each other. I think that's more powerful than any of the AI slop that Trump can come up with and throw in our faces. More powerful than any of his freaking truth social garbage. Because the attention is in person, right? The attention is where people are showing up for real. And I think that kind of takes me to this next quote, which is also about how phones can kind of get in the way of those in-person events. Abbott has a scenario where he's attracted a lot of attention to him and other with this big black box road trip. And he says, "Immediately, several people performed what Abbott now recognized as a modern dehumanization ritual. They pulled out their phones and started recording, breaking eye contact to focus on their screens instead." And I cannot agree with him more. how dehumanizing it is when somebody realizes, oh, the scenario that's happening to me in person, this would make really good content. And actually, these people are no longer real people to me. They are simply views. And I'm going to put a screen between us in real life. I'm putting a screen in between us so that I can record it and benefit from these views. And it is so frustrating to me when real life events are corrupted with screen time. I mean, one of the things that I didn't like about the protest was that the organizers kept asking us to pull out our phones during their speech and type in a number to get, like, on a mailing list. And I'm like, I'm here. I am present with you. Obviously, I'm connected to this protest in some way. I don't need to pull out my phone right now when I'm supposed to be listening to what you're saying. And I think it is super important to continue to document, show up. I took lots of pictures because, honestly, the signs were funny, okay? And I wanted to remember them. But it's when we start seeing other people as content that the big black box of doom really starts to show up and be a real threat, because we are now no longer in person with people. We are now seeing them simply as something that we can post on social media. And I think it's really sad. I mean, that's part of the reason I really stepped away from Instagram, because I felt like everything I was doing, I had a little voice in the back of my head that was like, can I make this a good Instagram post? Can I find a way to post this on the gram? I need somebody to take my picture right now because I'm not doing a selfie. Even with my art, I would start recording before I even knew where the art was going, because I was like, well, I gotta make content out of this art. And I recently, if you're watching the video, made this witch hat for my Halloween costume. And at no point when I was making it did I think, wait, I should record what I'm doing. Wait, I need to take a picture right now so that I can make it into a reel. And that alone has taken me a year to deprogram and stop, like, trying to turn everything into content. So if you're on that journey, I commend you. It's really hard. I'm still on that journey of just, like, distancing myself from social media and constantly wanting to turn my life into content. But I think, like, we need to reevaluate, like, when we're doing an in-person event, I think the encouragement should be, put away your phone. We've got people taking pictures. If you want a picture taken, like, there's a spot for that. But, like, you don't need to be recording this whole thing. You don't need to pull out your phone, because this is a safe space. And there's really no reason. Just be here. Be in the moment. So, yeah, like, it goes back to that original quote, the box doesn't train you to do anything but remain in the box. That part of, like, asking people to pull out their phones is just another sign of, like, oh, gotta make sure all these people with phones get their phone out and sign up for our list. So, I mean, what I'm trying to say with all of this is things are bad. People are showing up, which is great. I want people to keep showing up. But the reason things are, like, seeming even worse, and that we're at this heightened state of everything is about to, like, self-destruct, is because we are falling down. We are falling for these rage baits and this, like, really heightened and inflamed social media rhetoric. When really, if we strip it back, then we'd be able to focus on what's actually happening. So if you can break out of the box, do it. If you can put your phone down and, like, get disconnected, I would encourage it. I prefer signing up for, like, email newsletters, because then I don't have to go on Instagram and get distracted by everything on there. I can just get the information to my email. That's, like, how I stay connected with these, like, protests. Again, I would encourage you, do not like rage bait. Don't even watch it. Like, just scroll away, because we have let these social media companies hack our insecurities, and they have realized, oh, if we make them mad, they'll stay scrolling. So we need to tell them that's not what we want. So don't give your attention to things that make you angry. And that, like, just We need to try to make social media social again because it's no longer a space for conversation. It's just a space for hate and isolation. And I would encourage you to find ways to connect with people in your life that are algorithm free. I really enjoy just like texting my friends about things that I'm doing instead of posting it, because there's really not that many people I care about in real life where it's so cumbersome I would like have to create a group text. Like, I can just text a few people that care about the things I'm doing and that I want to hear updates from. And I mean, what I'm seeing is people really are craving in-person connection. My last book club had 17 people show up. So if you can find ways to be present in person, both politically and socially, I would really encourage you, find those avenues that are algorithm free and take care of yourself. Trump is attention hungry, but he is weaker than he makes himself out to be. So it's okay if you need to like take a break and unplug for a little bit, because it is exhausting to keep up with it. And I mean, really, the only thing we have left for the next few weeks is to just turn out for our local elections. With that, I will leave it there. If you liked what you heard or saw today, please subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. And if you want to know more about the podcast, go to angelageorge.com/voice-memos. I post all my podcasts there as well, and blogs if you're interested in reading about what I have to say. And yeah, I hope you stay safe out there this Halloween or Halloweekend if you're celebrating, and I'll see you in a few weeks. Bye.